Christmas is celebrated around the world, and it's such a joy. And we've sought to have that flavour in some of the carols that we have sung. So some of you may well know the carol Silent Light is a German carol, Stille Nacht, and one that was written for the sort of instrumentation that we heard it played on. Really exciting, really wonderful. And the choir item that we've just had, that is a Caribbean carol. We celebrate Christmas around the world, and there are different Christmas traditions in different places. And a particularly British tradition is this, the Christmas pudding. You won't really find this in many other places. It's a wonderful British tradition, an English tradition, really. And so you get the fruit and you get the treacle and the dark sugar that gives it its dark colouring, and it's all mixed together. And from Victorian times, you usually get a sprig of holly put in the top. But other countries don't have this, and so it can cause confusion. There's a story of a couple who knew a French family very well, and they wanted to send their French friends something at Christmas, something that was traditionally English. And so they sent them a Christmas pudding, made a really, really lovely Christmas pudding, put lots of holly in the top, put it very carefully in a box, and sent it off. And the note that accompanied it simply said, "Have a very happy Christmas. Here is something that is traditionally English." No other words of explanation. While went, and then a little while longer, and they hadn't heard anything back from their friends, and they wondered, did they receive this gift? Did it get damaged in transit or something like that? But eventually they did receive a thank you note, which read as follows, and I believe that this is absolutely true. "Thank you very much for the plant that you sent us." "We watered it every day, but unfortunately, it now appears to have died." We can easily mistake Christmas traditions. Things get lost in translation. And the point is that we can easily misunderstand Christmas itself. It's okay getting the traditions wrong, but getting Christmas wrong is a bigger mistake. Sometimes we can think that Christmas is just about family. And it certainly is about family, and that's a wonderful thing. Family come from far and wide, and it's the opportunity to celebrate together, but that doesn't get to the heart of it. Sometimes we can think that Christmas is a nice story, a wonderful story. And indeed it is. But again, it is far more than that. There is something deeper, something far more powerful, something that is life-changing, world-changing in the Christmas story. The theme for our Christmas services across South Parade Baptist Church is Christmas Unwrapped. And what I want to do this evening, very, very simply, is just to take a few words and phrases from the readings that we've had that help us to unwrap Christmas, that help us to recognize the true wonder and glory and meaning of Christmas. So a number of verses that help us to not get things lost in translation. First of all, a verse from Matthew chapter 2, and then a verse from Luke chapter 2. As we read together, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins, and a Saviour has been born to you." Jesus is Savior. God has come down to us in the person of his Son. He has come to save us. And this is a verse that points us forward and just takes us deeper into the meaning of Christmas. Because with the Christmas story, we have Jesus born and laid in a manger, an animal's feeding trough, and it is messy and it is dirty and it's not tinsel and glitter. And then as Jesus' life goes on, he shares our sorrows and our joys. He is the Son of God, God himself, but he is also fully human. And then he identifies with us fully in our mess and our pain and our confusion and our shame and our rebellion. And he dies in our place on the cross, dying that we might have life. And then he is raised to life again and he ascends into heaven. This is the heart of the Christian message. This is the Christian story. And we believe as Christian people that in Jesus, God has broken into time and space and history, and he has come to us in this way because he loves us, because he wants to forgive us, because he wants a relationship with us. There's a picture coming up on the screen of German candy canes. They look a bit sickly. This is another Christmas tradition. We have this here, but not to the extent that they have it in Germany and Germanic-speaking countries. And you have these canes, and woven right into them, there will be a red stripe or perhaps another colour. We believe as Christian people that woven into the Bible is the message that God loves us. Woven into the Christmas story, at the very heart, front and center of the Christmas story, is the love of God for us and God demonstrating his love. And woven into human history, from beginning to end, God loves us. He is searching us out. He wants to forgive us. He wants us to receive new life, life in all its fullness, life now and life in the age to come. The amazing love of God. And so as we begin to unwrap Christmas, we see that God loves us and he invites us to receive life. The next verse is this, again from Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. This helps us to understand how that life in all its fullness works. God comes to us in Jesus to bring us peace. We pray for peace in the world, but often that peace can be a fleeting peace, a passing peace. On the screen, there are soldiers playing football, and it's a story that many of you, I think, will know, that in 1914, on the Western Front, there was a brief truce. When the soldiers came out of the trenches, the British and the Germans, and they exchanged gifts, and wonderfully they played a game of football. People used to say, the joke was, that the English team were playing the German team. It was a score draw, but then the Germans won on penalties. But not anymore. It's a peace. But then that was snatched away. There was shelling that took place. The soldiers took their place in the trenches once again, and fighting recommenced. And you might think that the peace that Jesus brings is like that. Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, and yet in our world there seems to be little peace. In our lives, they seem to be little peace. In our nation, we are torn almost in two by political debates. Never in recent history, I would suggest, have things been so polarized. Where is the peace if Jesus comes to bring peace? Well, Jesus does make a huge difference to our lives, and Jesus is working in his world, bringing his kingdom, and one day we believe there will be perfect peace. But the peace that Jesus brings can be peace to us right now. Peace in the midst of the storm. A sense of peace when all around us seems to be crumbling. The word here is the Hebrew word shalom. And it's a word that conveys a sense of wholeness. And its meaning, its sense, is a peace that can be there in the midst of quite terrifying circumstances. Perhaps in our personal lives, perhaps as we survey our family situation, perhaps as we think nationally and internationally. Yes, there is difficulty and there is struggle, but there can also be peace. And it is the testimony of Christian people, of men and women, that in the midst of personal tragedy, in the midst of events that seem to be unimaginable, everything has gone wrong. Nevertheless, in his grace and mercy, Jesus comes and he makes a difference and he brings his peace. You can know that peace as well. In the midst of fear and doubt and confusion, Jesus can come and he can bring his wonderful peace. But who is this for? The final verse is from Matthew chapter 2. And what I've actually done is run a couple of verses together. So doubt and fear just ahead. That's where Jesus comes to bring his peace to those of us who have doubts and to those of us who struggle with fears. And then the final verse talks about magi from the east who come and who worship him. Who is this for? Who is this message of salvation for? Who is Jesus for? Who does he come to bring peace and salvation? We might think that it is for religious people. And yet, here we see Jesus coming to those who were not particularly religious. The shepherds would not have been part of the religious elite. Sometimes we have such a cleaned up, sanitized Christian story. We sort of think of the shepherds as the bank managers of the Middle East. It's not true. These were poor, homely people. And Mary and Joseph who were there. And Jesus born in a stable, not with hygienically clean hay, but with the mess and the rubbish and the stuff that would have been around. We think about a stable, probably more a cave, maybe even something like an outhouse. Jesus, the Son of God, the Lord of all, was laid in a manger. Not to the religious elite, not to rich people. And that is shown by the shepherds. That is shown by Mary and Joseph. That is shown supremely by these magi. Not people from Israel, but people who had come from afar. And actually, probably astrologers, stargazers, people who would have been reading their horoscope in today's terms. If you know anything about the Christian church, then doing this sort of stuff is not something that we would recommend. And yet, God, in his grace and mercy, comes to people who are on the fringe, perhaps beyond the fringe, and he reveals himself to them, and his love and his power, and he calls them to make a journey, a long distance, to come and to worship. And in God's working They bring gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They truly worship him. Gold for a king, frankincense for someone who was going to bring us back to God. Myrrh pointing forward to his death, because myrrh was for burial. These people who were so far off, they were called to come on a journey. Perhaps you feel far, far away from the Christian faith. Perhaps you feel, well, I might darken the doors of a church once in the year, but that would be it, because this isn't for me. I think God is saying, it is for you. I came for all people. I came to bring life, abundant life. I came to bring forgiveness. I came to bring cleansing from shame. I came to bring a new life and a new way of living. And I came to bring it to shepherds. And I came to bring it to these stargazers from the east. And I come to bring it to you. Perhaps you feel that you need to go on a long journey. That's fine. But God is inviting you to begin right now and take that step of faith, that journey towards him. Maybe that you want to pray right now to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, and that's great. But it may be that as you just sense, yes, I need to find out something more about this, you just want to take it a step further and take things step by step. We have a Christmas gift for you, which I have left on my chair. And it's this booklet, Why Christmas? And this is a wonderful booklet, Why Christmas? And its sister booklet, Why Jesus? Have introduced hundreds of thousands of men and women to the Christian faith. I encourage you to take that with you and to read it through. And that will just talk through in a little bit more detail the glory and the wonder and the relevance and the power of the Christian faith. And we would love just to get to know you better. And also, you will have received, as you came in, one of these green welcome cards. And you can tick one of three things. I would like to hear more about future events, such as the Christianity Explored course. I would like to meet someone and talk about the Christian faith. Or just simply, I would like someone to pray for me. If you tick that final box, no one will bother you and no one will be in contact with you. But if you just wanted to tick that and put down some words about yourself and how you would like to be prayed for, we will pray for you. We encourage you to fill in those cards. We encourage you, if you feel ready to make that step, to make contact with us and to take things further. Going to continue with our service in just a moment, and it would be wonderful just to know that God is working in your heart. Let me just pause and I will lead in a prayer right now before we continue. Lord God, Heavenly King, we thank you that you came to us in Jesus Christ at Christmas time. Thank you that the message is so special and life transforming. Thank you that you bring peace in the storm. Thank you that you bring salvation to all who turn to you. Those who believe that they are near, those who are far off, you invite us on a journey, you invite us to come. So, Lord, enable us to come to you as Saviour and Lord and friend. Transform our lives this Christmas time, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.